Well, again, I'm delighted to welcome another star of the 60s to the show today. Please welcome a man who sang Needles and Pins, and we all remember that. Welcome to the programme, Mike Pender.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, yeah, always glad to be of service to the public in as many ways as I can, and obviously doing radio interviews is always pretty good.
Excellent. So if I can start off asking you about the early days, because a few years ago the Iron Door Sessions CD was released, and I think that was an acetate you recorded, wasn't it? Wasn't the in the early days you were worried that you missed the boat when some of the other bands got recording contracts?
Well, I don't think we were sort of afraid of missing the boat. I think it was sort of we were just waiting until somebody actually found us. I think we had a feeling we were going to do something.
Yeah.
And we did that acetate at the Iron Door, as you say. I mean, mostly sort of, obviously there were all covers of, and I think Sweets was Sweets My Sweet was on that demo, I think.
Yeah.
As I recall, because I remember Tony Hatch, when he heard that, that was a song he liked. But yes, I've still got that demo today, actually.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. That must be worth a few bob, then.
No, I'm not going to put it on eBay, no.
And of course, you had two huge hits, Sweets for My Sweet, Sugar and Spice, and then you took over on lead vocal from Tony. And was that a difficult time? Because he wasn't too happy, was he, about losing the lead vocal slot?
I don't think it was a big issue in the band.
Right.
Tony found it probably a bit hard to take. But the thing was, it wasn't as if we all sat down and said, "Tone, I'm sorry,
yeah,
your solo singing has come to an end," or anything like that.
Yeah,
I think it's just a case of I sang the song, and Tony Hatch was quite happy with the vocal, and he said, "Let's put it down." And once he heard it, he said, "That's it, that's the song," and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But if you go back to before that, as you mentioned, Tony sang the first song, or he was the lead vocal on "Sweets My Sweet." And then both of us actually sang Sugar and Spice.
Oh, right.
You can hear me there singing seconds to Tony on that record.
Yeah.
And along, obviously, Chris and I put most of the U's and R's on, tracked it on afterwards.
Right,
Like you do with all harmonies.
Yes,
afterwards.
Yeah.
Which was brilliant in those days, because obviously, to have a four-track machine, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
You know, when you consider what they've got today.
Yes, yeah.
Unbelievable. And I can remember us all standing around one microphone in Pi Studios, and we did Sweets My Sweet in three takes.
Really?
Even though I wasn't happy with it at the time. But you always think in this business that you can always do a better one. Even when you've done a perfect one, you think, no, let's do another one.
Yeah.
Of course, the powers that be, time is money for them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they want to get it done as quickly as possible. And don't forget, in those days, we were sort of green out of Liverpool, and they wanted to sort of get it done as quickly as possible, and see what came out. And Tony Hatch was quite happy with the third take, and that was it.
Because your version of that on the acetate is not a million miles from the final hit version, is it?
Right, that's right. That's probably why we could do it in three takes.
Yeah,
because we were doing that song in the set at the time, and even before we actually recorded Needles and Pins, we were actually doing that song.
Really? Yeah.
Really, yeah, but it wasn't too sort of... We weren't doing it for that long before we actually recorded it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, you know, that's the way it went in those days. Get it done as quickly as you can.
Of course, looking back at the Searchers now, so many people associate you with that 12-string Rickenbacker sound. But I understand that when you walk in the room on that, was double-tracked six-string guitars, wasn't it?
No. Whoever told you that is rubbish.
Ah.
That's not the case. I'd actually seen George Harrison with his new Rickenbacker 12, which he obviously got from the Rickenbacker factory. They presented him with it.
Yeah.
And he used it on the... I remember him using it it was about 1964, summer, and their latest single at the time was Hard Day's Night. And if you listen to that song, it's played on a 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
I've seen George with the guitar, and I thought, you know, what's that sound? It's like, it sounds as though it's double-tracked or something, but it was actually a Rickenbacker. And I remember going into Crane's Music Store in Liverpool and ordering the Rickenbacker, and it took 2 weeks for it to arrive from America. And straight Pizza Pie Studios, and that's what we used on When You Walk in the Room.
Really?
Yeah. That riff is probably one of the most famous 12-string riffs still around today that they play on the radio.
Yeah. And it's like the riff in Needles and Pins. There are so many songs that I hear and I think, that's that riff again.
You can hear sounds of that riff in Needles and Pins. Did you say Needles and Pins?
Yeah,
that sort of thing. I think Jeff Lynne used it. I can hear it in one of his songs, because he was a big fan of the band, Jeff Lynne.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We used to come across him quite a lot in the 60s, touring around and bumping into him and things like that. And I think it's there in one of his big hits. But you can hear. But you can say that about a lot of guitar riffs, I think.
Yes.
When you hear them through, and they come up on different songs, you can hear, and you say to yourself, doesn't that remind you of that song? You know.
Yeah.
It's all that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And of course, in the early 1970s, you signed with RCA, and you released Solitaire as a single, which I always thought was the definitive version. Did I hear a story about Neil Young playing it down the phone to you at some point? Not Neil Young, Neil Sedaka.
Well, I don't actually remember that, but the guy, the producer at the time at RCA, but they fancied us doing it.
Yeah.
The producer said, I think Mike can sing this.
Yeah.
It's not what he usually does, and I think it's about time he tried to do something like this. And it took a few takes to do.
Yeah.
To say, but they were very happy with the finished product. And as you know, it was a single.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, who had the hit with it was
it Andy Williams?
Andy Williams, yes.
Yeah.
Andy Williams recorded it, and of course, you know, Andy Williams got the place.
Yeah.
We didn't, simple as that, really.
Yeah.
It still sounds good today on the album. A lot of people still remark on it.
Yeah.
But you're going to get there anyway.
Yes.
Whether we would have had that success with it, you know, I don't know.
There was a man alone. Lost his love through his indifference. A heart that cared, that went unshared until everywhere he's playing side.